Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, I'm back. You're back. Everybody's back, and it feels great. How you doing?
I'm good. We went camping. I got a CAT scan. So much, and I found out that Keith went away, and I found that out, I think, on Reddit. So, you know, this is like, if you want to be friends with me or Keith, this is what it's like. We're friends now. If you're listening, this is the conversation.
I went to Nashville. I went to Chicago. Very exciting stuff. In fact, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it because I want to talk about the Queen, and that's going to take 3-4 hours. But all this, that's Chicago and Nashville. So
Keith's notes printed out. Yes. My goodness. We posted some pictures on our Reddit, of course.
I saw Brother Love in Nashville. I saw my brother in Chicago. I come home. My Army records are in the mailbox. Chemda, what that means is my driver's license will say veteran on it, and I can do whatever the hell I want.
Okay, let's see what a veteran can do in the U.S. Like, I think you were in the Army 25 years ago-ish?
30, yes.
Let's see how America works for you now.
You know what? My veteran's card saved me about $10, my train to Newark Airport.
Okay.
Yes.
$10 is a lot.
Of course. 30 to 20, that's a lot.
Thank you for your service.
You know what? You're welcome.
You know what you should do? Every time you get a discount with your veteran's card, you should thank them for their service. Just record how that goes. Let's try an experiment. Nobody's ever done that.
I salute them. I have a new office chair. It's in a box right now, so I have to find 7 other projects for the TaskRabbit to do. But I'm very excited about a new office chair.
And I'm really hiring a TaskRabbit.
Of course I am. And this is the biggest news. Mm-hmm. My dad wrote the ending to the Dad Emails book.
Oh my God. For those who are new, Keith catfished his dad for a year pretending to be his ex-wife because his father reached out to his ex-wife behind his back. And then we just got a whole bunch of so many emails back and forth that it's becoming a book. Keith, you sent the book.
I sent the whole
to your
book.
Dad.
Yes.
About how you catfished him.
Yes.
And you said whatever he's going to respond will be the ending of the book.
No matter what he writes.
And are you reading it right now, or are you saving it for the ending of the book?
I think I'm going to save it.
Yeah.
It's short, and I think I'm going to save it.
Oh my God.
But he wrote right away. He wrote that same day.
What did you write? Can you tell us what you wrote him?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I have it open also. Let's see here.
I know to remind you to work hard.
Keith wrote his dad, "This is a link to the book that will come out about the emails with Kat back and forth. I'd like to give the opportunity for you to literally write the last page, parentheses S, pages. I have to move on in 1 week, but I'm giving you the opportunity to respond. Whatever you write back will, again, literally be the final words in this book." His dad literally wrote the following, as you can see.
I can't. What does it start with? What is it? Oh, my God. How long is it?
It's very short. I'll tell you, it starts with, "I love all my children."
Motherfucker. Holy shit. What does that even mean?
Very exciting stuff. Very exciting. And I'm going to end the book, by the way, with my dad's obituary that he wrote about himself.
Stop it.
Yes. Anyway, today's guest, you're going to love her. I do. The new album is out right now. This is what you do. You get the album Baseline Presentable. It's number one on iTunes, actually. Under it is Weird Al, Grammy winner Weird Al. So that's the sign of a pretty good album. Aaron McGuire, how you doing, Aaron?
I am very well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here with you guys.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you, too.
Well, this is working out already. I love it. By the way, speaking of comics, did you see Jerry Seinfeld in, he did an ad for Kith, K-I-T-H, and he's wearing like, I don't know, like a 20-year-old should wear these clothes, right? I don't know how to describe it. I'll put pictures on the website. What are you doing?
Let's just say, I don't know. He can Kith the choices goodbye. It was so upsetting to see. It was like, it felt like it was, like he was being catfished. It felt like it was fake. I know. The one that looks like he's got the grandmother upholstered, furniture. There we go. Upholstered furniture. Even his face.
I thought Kith was like, you know, out of the league. I didn't even look it up. I'm like, not for me, right?
Right.
Seinfeld is older than me and doesn't exactly represent pop culture youth anymore,
right? He hates pretension. He hates bullshit, I would think. He likes Serial and Superman. What is this? I know it's money, right. But come on. What is that?
And he also went to a college and they were not interested in his old man jokes.
Right.
And he said that you know, college people don't understand or whatever, and they can't get
right.
a joke. Like, so I don't understand why he's representing
college.
and I know.
Anything cool.
It feels to me like he owes someone a favor or somebody's got something on him.
Right.
You know, like somebody has a bit of information and they're like, put this jacket on or I'll tell.
You think he fucked Kit's wife?
Yes.
It's like the pirate sleeve shirt from Seinfeld.
Yes.
He is dating someone who's a low talker who said, well, I do Kith, so would you model this for me? And he's like, of course, anything.
It's life imitating art, and it is so upsetting. The so, best I mean, part is his face in every picture. Have you noticed? He's like,
Yeah, I'm serious. Arms folded in my letter jacket. Don't you have to earn a letter jacket? This is stolen valor. Don't you earn a letter jacket?
That's your biggest problem with this line?
Yeah. The biggest problem is that obviously he's trying to bag a new girlfriend, but from high school. But
ew, remember when he dated a high schooler when he was 40?
Yeah.
Anyway, Keith, does it look weird to you that the brand name is one letter shy of your name?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't really get that. The only time I got that where something was close to my name was PEMDAS. Which is, do you know what it is? It's the math thing where how do you solve a problem? It's parentheses first, then exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. And that's how I remembered it and did well in math. But I'm like, PEMDAS, that's like my name. No, it's not.
PEMDA would not
you
mind.
You were so close to being a Schoolhouse Rock.
Thank you.
PEMDA wouldn't mind if people even called her PEMDA. They fuck it up
so
much. No,
PEMDA minds. PEMDA minds. Do not put that out there. People are looking for a name that's easier than PEMDA, and PEMDAS will stick. I know it, and that's not what I want.
But even the easy names get messed up. Erin McGuire. It is not complicated, and people cannot wrap their brains around it, especially the spelling of my last name. You know?
What do they call you?
It's mostly spellings is the problem. They'll tag me and stuff. Like I'll be on flyers for shows and they'll still be like, Erin McGuire, MCQWY. You know, Mark McGuire ruined it for all McGuires. And I thought Toby McGuire would save everything because he spells it like me. And he's done nothing good for humanity.
That's in Keith. General. Keith gets that too. Keith O'Malley, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People spell it the EI, they reverse it.
And they correct me that I have it wrong.
Yeah. Yes. People spell my name right every time, obviously. And they say it the same. So we're good.
I got to say, I'm in Nashville, I'm in Chicago. I get back to the great New York City, and Chicago is so much cleaner. But at the same time,
is it right now?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know what they. I understand it's the murder capital of the world. I guess they clean up after themselves because this is a nice looking town. And I get home, and of course, New York City's filthy and congested. There's nothing like home sweet home. I don't know what to tell you. If you took a homeless person, you took them around the world, Taj Mahal everywhere. I bet they get back to their great, and they're like. Finally.
They're great.
Because
everybody gets one. A great for every person in New York City, baby. Nice and toasty warm.
Wait, you joke, but that is honestly Keith's plan B. Like, podcasting doesn't work. He's got a couple of greats, you know, scoped out around
three.
The city.
I have three that are still untouched.
Right,
one right by the opera.
He's ready.
Then you better claim it now because New York real estate is going through the roof. And if you think that we're not all eyeing the same greats that you're eyeing, you're wrong. There's probably, if you go right by right now, there's like three millennials that are living on that great being like, we're just sharing a great, you guys, until I can save up to get my own great. But I guarantee you what's going to happen at this point. So what you're saying is that you were happy to come back to New York?
Yeah, this just, yes, I do like I'm like, Ken, if you need a cough drop at 2 a.m., where are you going to get it? You know, yeah, I do like New York. You went from Boston to New York, now in Jersey. Do you miss New York?
I'm always in New York anyway. Jersey is just, this is just a place where I keep my stuff.
Right.
Jersey is the queen is the queens of Manhattan.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's
I've never known the joy of a commuterless experience. Like I've never lived in Manhattan.
See, right. what's interesting is probably my commute to Manhattan and your commute is not that far off, but I refuse to move to New Jersey because it's a different state. And I'd rather live in Queens because fuck you, I'm still in New York. And if I'm not in New York, I might as well move out of the country.
Wow. You guys are a Sex and the City episode away
right?
from being to New York. It's like, when I first moved out, because I was in Queens, I was in Brooklyn, back to Queens again. Like I've lived everywhere but Manhattan. And then I went and, you know, married a guy who lived in Jersey. And then I had to come out here for him.
Accommodations. You
know?
Wow.
I know, adjustments. And that was an adjustment I did not like when I first moved out to Jersey and didn't understand that like trains were on schedules and you didn't have a choice at a certain time, like you had to get a train back.
Right.
That was like a big culture shock for me.
Yeah, my brother's acting like he invented Chicago. And so, you know, it's a competition. What's better, Chicago or New York? And then we try to get food at midnight and it's a to-do. So, you know what? There's something about, like in New York, you get everything. You can have your California bagel whenever you want. By the way, that's a plain bagel, but the delivery guy tells you about their latest project. I love this city so much. And, you know, absence made the thing go fonder.
That's so funny because we had a week off. Keith went to Nashville, Chicago. I went upstate. So I just went to a different part of New York. That's how sick I am in the brain.
I've just migrated to New further York. Up.
Yeah.
Where'd you go in New York?
Like 45 minutes north so that I can, you know, have the string with me attached to New York City.
Breadcrumbs out the car window.
That's right. I always know my way back. I can bike back it should the apocalypse come.
Like a kid on a leash, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm safe.
Yeah.
Speaking of your marriage, by the way, I liked your point about how all these love songs, of course, they're written by single people. You know, married people, they write a love song and be like, why'd you buy so many damn potatoes, girl?
Exactly. Simple crap.
How did you guys do during the... How long have you been married, first off?
In pandemic years or regular years?
Regular years, and then we'll do the math.
We have 11 years next week.
Congrats, whoa. I think, right?
Thank
congrats.
You, Barbie. Yeah, everybody says it, so I'm just like, sure, I'll accept the praise for just being with the same person, because that's all we're ever doing. We're like, good for you for sticking it out, kid.
But we don't want it to be us. Like, my dad it was his 80th birthday, you know, and we're like, oh, good for you. It's like, but I don't want to be you, but good for you.
To him and the queen.
Right.
Aw. We'll get to her, don't you worry.
Hello. So was it tough during pandemic when you are in your apartment?
No, we kind of lucked out because we ended up buying a house before everything happened.
Okay.
And I did say to him, I was like, well, I'm glad we like it because we're not going anywhere ever again. Thank you, pandemic.
I assume because you're in Jersey, you might have had different rooms to go into.
Exactly. I had a place to go. And I'm not going to lie. We have a basement that we turn into a bar, and that has saved everybody's marriage.
Sure.
Oh, wow. So you just go there and do like a bar show real quick. Like, hey, guys, how's your pandemic? You got teddy bears lined up just to feel normal again.
I charge my husband 2 drinks.
Right.
He has to
make
cover
for you. Yeah.
This is awkward, but you're going to have to order 2 of those, sir.
Date night has gotten weird, but you know, pandemic.
How do you meet
whatever? It's just money.
How do you meet your husband?
We met through mutual friends randomly, and then somebody was doing a reading of a play, and they had cast the two of us in it. And so I just sort of met him on a flight. We had been hearing about each other for years, so we were like ships passing in the night. Right. And then we did the world's worst play reading together. And once you survive bad plays. That really like merges you as one. We were
a
married.
Pandemic
before
is
we were
nothing
married.
After that.
I know. Honestly, it's like we've survived. Summer stuck. Yeah. No. So we met doing a weird play, and then started dating. And then, like everybody does in New York and New Jersey, everybody moves in. Like you know,
sure.
They're like, I don't feel like paying this rent by myself. We want to excel this thing. We want to you know push it up a bit. So, yeah.
And yeah. Then how do you know when later, you're in New York? How do you know when your relationship is is ready for the next level.
Right.
Your lease is up.
It's what, absolutely. Yeah.
You're either in or out. My lease is up. In fact, that should be on the Tinder thing. I have a year and a half left on my lease. Okay. You're safe for at least a year and a half. We can casually date. Now, if your lease is up in 3 months, you're going to have to make decisions.
It's questionable. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got to
wear your lease on your sleeve.
You decide where you want to be in the relationship. It's like sweeps week when that comes around. Mine's October 15th. I got to decide. What do I got to bring out the big guns or what are we going to do right now? It's important. But do you guys have sex?
Oh, hell no.
Aaron did. Do you still do this? Audiobooks for Harlequin.
Yes. I did one over the pandemic. That was the last one I did. And listen to my voice. Like, that's half the thing. I'm like, but also like this kind of tone of voice where I'm sarcastic sounding.
Right.
It's a tough transfer to Harlequin romance novels, but I make it work somehow. Like this is sexy, but also sarcastic. Like, right. I don't
have this just in, you got a big dick.
Listen, if you could just sit and spin, that'd be lovely, honey. Now cut my breasts, will you? I don't have all day. God damn it.
Who buys those? Is it mostly, I think on your album, did you say it's mostly truckers that buy those?
Yeah, truckers, which was funny to find that out. And yeah. I was like, oh my God. And people review you online. I mean, you haven't lived till you've done a performance in a Harlequin romance novel and somebody's like, I don't buy it. She did not come.
Right. She never does. Trust me.
Not fully. I know. The best part is like, when I was doing them before, like I've done them on and off for years and you go to the studio, this is like pre-pandemic, and you sit in a little studio and there's an engineer about 5 feet away from you and you're talking trash and there's a stranger just on the other side of a glass from you. I was like, this is so, and I was raised Catholic. So I was like, well, this is nothing new. If this was a priest, it would be no different.
Right. What's one of the weirdest lines that you remember doing?
I want you to stick a cucumber in me. Can you like do it? You would find at the food emporium.
Wow.
Can you please do it in the voice?
And it was in the middle of like, you have to get really, you're acting it out. So you have to get into it as much as you can. So there's a stranger sitting 5 feet away from you behind a glass. And I mean, a lot of people, you read your books before you record them so that you understand what's coming. And like, people get really organized about how they put their characters together. But me, I'm like, let's just see what happens today. I don't have time to read this crap before I get in there. We'll just whip it out.
Her audio so books every so often goes, oh my. Okay. So the cucumber, follow this, guys. To me.
It's as much of a surprise to me as it is to the listeners. And I was recording it. And then I was going along. She was like, I want you to fuck me like one of the girls that you stuck a cucumber up, like you're in the aisle of a food emporium. And I just stopped and started laughing for 20 minutes. And the poor engineer, like, because we were on a timetable. And right. I was like, we need to take a break. I have to walk around the block for a minute.
That one was sponsored by the Food Emporium. What a great way to get people in.
You guys, free ad space. I'm just saying. If you guys need some more ad space.
Did they look at you like, fresh. Why? What's so funny? I remember being in, I did that horror movie, She's Crushed. And in it, she lobotomizes me, this woman, but I'm still alive somehow and she's feeding me soup. And I just start cracking up laughing. And she goes, what's so funny? I'm like, This whole thing is fucking funny. Don't act like I'm not a real actor. It's ridiculous.
I mean, don't you ever do something where your soul leaves your body and you look down at yourself and you're like, well, this is happening.
Right.
I mean, that's 90% of my career at this point is me leaving my body and going, I cannot believe you're going through this right now, that this is really happening.
Right. Did you ever use one of the lines on anyone or?
Have you took your work home?
Yeah.
That's the funniest part is that I do not. But when we did during the pandemic, we built like a little sound studio downstairs so that I could hopefully work thinking, oh, there's going to be a need for Harlequin romance novels in the apocalypse.
Especially now,
you need a release. You need to go and hide somewhere and listen to me talk trash to you. And the best part was to be downstairs talking absolute trash and then go upstairs and have like a sandwich with my husband. and not talking shit to him at all, because I would literally be like, and she wrapped her moist legs around him. Hey, is there any wine open? Can you bring down some cookies?
Do you go by your regular name, or do you go by a pseudonym?
I go by a pseudonym. I don't think I talked about that on my album.
You mentioned there is a pseudonym, and you're like, I'll be Big Tits McGee, and they're like, it's taken, you know that.
Yeah. And then I was like Barbara Bush.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you go by?
Well, when I first started doing it, it happened real fast, and they were like, we need a fake name for you now. So I used my grandmother's name, which
it's funny when we get fake phone numbers, we just change the last digit. Like, so much pressure.
Or if somebody came to, do you have like a fake name that you would give to, if anybody hit on you? Women always have a fake name.
Yes. But in this case where we're trying to get some other thing, I would fucking, if I'm sweating so hard because it's coming at me and I didn't expect it, I'd be like, Mrs. Doubtfire. Fuck. Right.
It'd be Penda. Like
I did have a club name when I was going to clubs as a teenager, and it was Desiree. So that is, and so for a long time that was my Starbucks name. But then I thought of that as like my my nighttime fun girl name. So I was like, I'm going to retire that because I'm a different fun time now, and I started going by Cindy because I am so basic. I can never think of names when I need to. I'm like, give me a regular name. And I'm like, Foggy Bottom, Steve Balls, Christy Mannion. I don't know. I don't know names.
Christy Mannion. Wait a minute. So you aged out of your first fake name.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm aging into mine for some reason. And because I never had a plan for a fake name if somebody ever asked me for my name and I didn't want to give it. And
you people with regular names, like if you're in a club and the what's your name? Hemda. No. No, it's C8 Hemda. Is this turning you on? You're into what? Hemda. Desiree. I just said desire in a different way. Desiree. It's very, think of like foreigner who came here when she was four. What's an American, club name? That's, I'm lucky I didn't say like Candy or something. I knew a little bit better.
No, it's better. It's the best way to get somebody's free cocaine at a club. It sounds to me like you had some great club days. She was at Limelight. She was, doing blow. Her name is Desiree. You have a whole second life. I'll tell you what my fake name is for audiobooks, and then I'll tell you my panic name, which is not as exciting.
Okay.
So my grandmother's name was Kitty LaRue.
Oh, that was her grandmother's name. There's no way.
That was my grandmother's name.
Dancer? No.
Not far off. If she was like a 4'2", just scrappy Boston, like could pin you up against a wall type of hard scrabble gal. And I just felt the best way to honor her memory was to record trash under her name. So I did one book under Kitty LaRue. And then I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this. And then I was just walking down the street one day and I saw the name of a street was Ellery. And then I just took my husband's first name. So I was like, Ellery James, done. So if you want to find me, I like that name, Ellery James. But then somebody was like, it's like E.L. James. And I was like, ah, shit. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Too late now. Ellery James. She's already trending on Amazon.
Don't do math. Just, do the name. That's okay.
Yeah, don't think so hard.
Yeah.
Because when I had a panic name, it came out. Here's my panic name. Janine. What?
You sound just like literally a Janine I know.
Oh, no way.
Whoa.
Garofalo?
No, this Janine is dead. So there's no competition. I just thought it was funny.
Wow, it's so good to know. In honor of, so two dead people, I'm honoring their names.
That's right.
You guys, do I sound like a Cindy someone knows? Is this what
not
Cindy sounds like? No.
You do not track for Cindy. Somebody told me their name was Joan the other day, and I was like, God, when was the last time you met a Joan?
Right.
The last like time I smoked a cigarette in one pull.
I know. You've never met a baby named Joan.
Right.
Yeah, like that's a baby with a 401k.
One of my first landlords was called Ethel Gray. That was her name. And surprise, that was her when I saw her. I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
You've never seen a sexy Ethel.
Right.
Yet.
Well, here's what you do. And then we'll get to the Queen. You check out the album Baseline Presentable. It's number one on iTunes. Number two is Weird Al Yankovic, the genius. You know, he changes the words around and stuff. and it's isn't it exciting, though? Like, Weird Al knows you now. That's a little exciting. I remember putting up an album. It's number one. For a minute, I beat Jim Gaffigan's five albums. And I'm like, hi, Jim. You know,
I know.
Me now. It's very exciting.
And you screenshot it.
Yes.
And then you send it out.
Absolutely.
And it makes you legit. And I want to know the feeling of being on top of Weird Al Yankovic. Ooh, this is my
hey,
next.
Hey, that's what I want to know.
I want to know what it feels like to be on top of Weird Al Yankovic in the food emporium with a cucumber. So I want to stay up there. I want people to keep buying it, you know. And I'm already getting a little online hate. So I feel like I'm right in the pocket.
Of course.
You know?
That's legit. You have to, yeah.
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 So I keep getting these texts on my phone. This phone, I thought it knew my algorithm. It seems that it doesn't know I don't give a fuck about where the Queen's body is 15 times a day. It arrived in London. Where else would it arrive? No shit.
It's good to know she's got a GPS tracking device right up until the end.
Right. David Clegg, just somebody I saw on Twitter, he says the Queen wasn't just some politician who got elected. Well, that's actually the best thing if we all pick somebody, right? She was our queen. She represented the best of our history, our culture, traditions, and national character. The monarchy is the heart of the British state and people.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. She died.
That's what
a lot
killed
of pressure. Right. I know. On her 96-year-old body, I feel like it was a Weekend at Bernie's thing. Like she's probably been gone for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to kick the can down the street to make sure that Charles has the least amount of time on the throne as possible. Which, by the way, I can't help but laugh like a fifth grader every time they say on the throne.
Of course. Of course.
He's on the throne. She's on the. I was like, God, I'll never not be a 13-year-old boy.
They're on the throne and Camilla's doing number two. No, how she died. A lot of people don't talk about how she died. Yeah, it's old age, but she held in one of the farts that she'd blame on the horses. I don't know if you've heard this, and she tried to hold it in. That's how she died. The Queen of England, Aaron. You see the news. You probably already know this. But some people don't. My brother didn't, for example. If the Queen farts, you know, it's a little loose down there. She, they'd go, oh, Your Majesty. And she'd be like, no, twasn't me, pip, pip, right? And they're like, oh, it's probably me in my chair. Maybe it moved. You know, we're not going to embarrass anybody. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no. Tease the horse. And they're like, okay, you know what? I didn't even hear nothing. No, kill the horse. They would kill 12, 14 horses a day based on her farts. The royal horses that you see when you visit that stupid area. It's disgusting. This was a bad, bad person. She would fart and make the guards kill a horse. She didn't eat the meat. She would pretend like, no, 'tis flatulence inside. Like, it's so, she really put, they couldn't even make glue out of it. They just buried the fucking horses. That's sick. And something a lot of people don't seem to know. And you see those four corgis that she had? They're alive. They're walking around. She demanded they get buried inside her with her. This is a sick woman.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, why do you think she was always surrounded by dogs?
Yes.
You need somebody to blame right. that on.
She started with 24 dogs, by the way. We're down to four. She blamed the dogs after the horses. It's sick.
We're going full Egyptian. Everybody's in the tomb with her, you know? And for the record, I want to know what that accent was that you just did.
It is Upper English, darling. I did not fart.
Who do you sound? You sound like Anna from Inventing Anna.
Thank you. Oh,
that's funny.
The fake woman.
You don't know what it's like to be surrounded by corgis.
I saw somebody write on the Reddit, the horses will all be slaughtered because the queen shat herself at the end, as is tradition.
It hasn't happened for 70 years, but from what I hear, King Edward really let it rip.
So now,
in the final hours.
So now, of course, they have a king, and it's King Charles III.
Yeah.
How do we feel about
nobody's
this?
Nobody's excited about. I want them to skip over and go right to William.
Right.
I don't know if you can do that.
So Prince Charles is now king. Camilla is the queen, but you know we don't care when he's alive. It seems. Let's see. And by the way, he's 73 and not a wearing it well 73.
Well, so, he could be an American president.
Right. They have to change all the
diapers.
They have to change the money.
Diapers.
They have to change the diapers.
They really have to change the money?
Yeah. So yeah. Do they change it like, do they act like they're changing it, but do it real slow? Because I don't want to have to change it again in a week.
Well, remember we had the Sacagawea coins for a hot second.
Right. Right.
I think that we can go in and out of our money a lot faster than we ever give it credit for. I want to see the picture they go with for Charles for that, you know,
right.
What's going to go on the bills. I used to live in England.
Yeah.
I loved it. I would live there again in a heartbeat. But man, they do love their royals.
If it wasn't for this fucking husband of yours.
I know he's holding me down and he's holding me back. I say that to him every morning as we wake up. I'm like, just remember, you're bringing me down.
That's right.
I saw some little video of the new king, and there's like pens in his way on his desk, and he like does his hand to somebody. I don't know if it's a servant or you know somebody up high, but he waves the hand so that somebody knows to move these pens out of his way. These are not the Game of Thrones kings that we've been watching.
No. Apparently, he used to have them iron his shoelaces.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
Which nothing surprises me anymore.
What is that? He's making porn? What could that be?
Why iron your shoelaces? But yeah. Do you also see, I was like, okay, how did that video leak? And why was it being filmed to begin with? Like, what nanny cam is in that office? And you could see that he was like, it's leaking. It's the ink's going everywhere. Damn it. They do this every time. Mommy. And he throws a tantrum.
I was left in shambles. And I have to bring all this back up. You know what? That's why the king in chess only moves one piece at a time. It's kind of worthless.
Yeah, but also I'm like, you've been prepping for this for 5 decades.
Yeah.
You just know he's sitting in the wings like, she'll go down sooner or later. And when she does, I'll be ready.
Now, Archie and Lilibet, the children of Prince Harry and Meghan, are prince and princesses, these little children. That's not going to be insufferable at school.
Oh, God, not at all. But I also thought if they stepped away, if they like abdicated their duties, how does that, I said duties, how does that work? You know, how do they, I don't know.
The Crown, the TV show The Crown, pauses production on season 6, quote, out of respect for the Queen. Why? Because you made her look bad and we got to take a break? I don't.
Yeah, you know they had to pivot hard. They were like, oh, God, take out the stripper scene, you guys, take it out.
I mean, it's not a documentary, right?
Take out the part where she says, Philip hasn't gone down on me in 73 years. Take it out, take it out. And they're pivoting hard.
Right. God, you're good at cunnilingus, pip, pip. You know.
You guys, that scene, we got to get it out. We're pausing production. Pausing.
This is absolutely true. Donald Trump tweeted out, I never told anybody, but she knighted me in private. Now, I trust this guy as far as I can throw him, but you know what? I believe him. Same thing happened to me.
What does he think being knighted is?
Yes. Whatever happened behind closed doors when she had an audience with him.
Right.
Well, they're the same age. I think they just, you know, had a fun time together, and she was like, I'm knighting you. And he's like,
Oh, my God.
Are.
I was like, are they really the same age?
I mean,
she looked terrible.
Aren't they like, what? How old is she? 95?
96.
And he's like 82.
73. He's young.
Well, he drinks the blood of children to try
Holy
to keep
shit.
His.
He's 20 years younger than her.
Yeah. Fuck. Nobody looks good anymore.
102. Oh my God.
I think in order to be on Congress, you have to look like a melting candle.
Right.
Everybody looks rough.
It's old fashioned. We like it.
Yeah. Bring back the wigs, you know, the powdered wig.
Hey, speaking of looks, let me pivot here for a second. Britney Spears wrote this on Instagram. First, she posted a quote apparently by Rodney Dangerfield. I found there was only one way to look thin, hang out with fat people. And then she wrote, I wish I could have chosen the nannies for my children, my dancers. I mean, if I had Christina Aguilera's dancers, I would have looked extremely small. Three dancing emojis. I mean, why not talk about it? Don't you think my confidence would have been a bit better if I could choose where I lived, ate, whom I called on the phone, dated, and who was on stage with me? It's hard sometimes now. I see how much of my womanhood was stripped away at the time, and every person sat back and didn't say a thing. Anyways, I will be here talking about things people never talk about. Three big eyes emojis. She just called Christina Aguilera fat, right?
No, she called her dancers fat. Oh, yeah. And yeah.
No,
yeah,
she said she didn't have fat dancers. Right. And obviously, for the record, I don't know if it's important, Christina Aguilera's dancers are hot as hell, obviously.
Her dancers were hot as hell, too.
Of course.
Everyone's I know one hell. Of them.
Everyone's hot as hell over here. Yes.
Everyone's fine. Everyone's like...
We're gorgeous.
Yeah. No, but she was saying that everyone on Christina Aguilera's stage was overweight because that's how they made her look so skinny. She was so fucking skinny when she first started. Like, she was a child, you know? And then she, like, filled out a little bit, but not fat, not overweight, not anything. I don't think she's ever been overweight, but it doesn't matter. All the other, that's a little loopy, but we're forgetting that she's saying all this other stuff. She never had a decision for anything.
Well, all the cocaine definitely kept everybody in good shape.
Sure.
And the lewds and stuff that Disney was giving them, you know, the use.
Right.
But I like that. Here's a problem. We should never have freed her to begin with.
Oh, shit.
And now she's out on her. She's just flying out there without a net. And we're all just here with popcorn being like, what thing is she going to say next?
Yeah. Here's another.
But is Christina still touring?
What's that? Is she touring?
Is Christina touring?
I'm not sure. But you know what's funny? I'm you know, making show notes and stuff. I'm getting on a plane to come home, and I happen to have like a picture of Christina Aguilera looking sexy on my phone, and I didn't know that it was shown on the phone. So as I'm moving around luggage and looking for my seat, I just look like a fucking pervert.
You sit down, the lady next to you is like, is there an open space where I can move?
The great Merriam-Webster has put more words in his book. The dictionary has brand new words. It's always very exciting. Here's one. Yeet.
Okay.
Y-E-E-T. An expression or surprise, as in, this bitch is sucking my dick. Yeet, dumb bitch. Oh, sorry. That's Urban Dictionary. Sorry. Okay. Merriam-Webster.
Oh, wait. That's one of my books.
Sorry about that. Sorry. I get to eat the cookies you baked before we eat dinner. Yeet. That's an example.
Like great?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It means great.
Did somebody mispronounce great? And then
it's like somebody mispronounced yes and yeet. I don't know.
Oh, yes and great.
Janky.
My yeet grandma.
Janky made it. My yeet grandma. Janky made it.
Janky. Oh, it's janky. It's like shitty, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought janky was a word already.
I guess not.
It's more Urban Dictionary,
right,
which is one I use, honest to God, online all the time.
like slang dictionary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was already a word.
Well, so you got to look up Harlequin stuff, so that's probably why you're there.
Exactly. I need translations.
Somebody's getting fucked every single word on Urban Dictionary. It doesn't matter what it is. Automobile. This dumb bitch has an automobile. Automobile.
Use it in a sentence.
Right. Cunt.
This
automobile.
Stupid bitch down the street from me. She's sucking on my yeet.
Sus. An adjective. Sus. Short for suspect.
Like the suspect.
I thought it was the way I heard my teenagers use it. It sounded like it was homophobic. This guy's sus.
Oh, because he's a suspected homo.
Homosexual.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's telling about the kids that you're...
They were just telling me what other people said. They were on the side of good.
I'm glad you came back from Nashville.
No, well, I have heard it used like suspect, like sus, like we're suspecting that. I think it's just suspecting what you're not presenting.
Yeah, you're sus. So basically, we're just putting like millennial...
Yeah.
Like abbreviated words in the dictionary now.
That's the thing. These the new words are great. They should always happen. But sus is not a new word. It's just slang for suspicious.
Yeah, no cap. Yeah. I don't think all these are bus. And here's a new one. Luke, L-E-W-K. It's a noun. A fashionable look distinctive to the wearer and noticeable and memorable to others. Like Jerry Seinfeld just had a Luke.
Yeah, he's got some major Lukes going on there.
I thought it was like a cool guy in a diner.
Poem finally made it. Right.
I watched all the Gilmore Girls twice during the pandemic, so appreciate that reference.
Thank you.
But I would always jokingly put Luke on everything. L-E-W-K, like, here's my Luke for today. Yeah. And then to have to explain it to my mother where she was like, what is Luke?
You don't have to explain it anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just hand her a dictionary.
Pwn, P-W-N. Which means like own. Yeah, it's usually video game stuff, right? Like pwned.
But
them.
that was a mistype, right? You got pwned, and then it took off, and it was used sarcastically, like you got owned, but I know internet speak. So pwned is just a mistype that people used.
Oh my God, you know the etymology behind all of this. I am very impressed.
I'm looking right now. Source, A Mistake in America. Huh. Okay. Baller made it. Baller.
Oh, shit. Shot caller. Baller.
Fingers crossed. Next year we get shot caller. Agreed. Pumpkin spice as a noun.
Oh, come on.
Wait, what? Yeah. What does that mean?
Pumpkin spice is so popular that it made the dictionary.
I don't understand.
What is
those
a compound?
Those two are words. So what is this?
I'm just looking at pumpkin spice noun, a blend of cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and allspice commonly used in pumpkin pie.
I cry shenanigans on that one in a big way. Because there are already pre-existing words, though.
Right. Agreed. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, but this means the combination of that, which... Okay.
New word, I went to the house. That's when you go to somebody's home.
But you know, okay, we'll go with that. House sitting, house and sitting, those are two words, but house sitting is actually
a separate word.
Verb. It is. Oh, Siri, not you. Holy shit.
Do you want pumpkin spice, Desiree?
She just ordered 10 lattes. And metaverse is a new one also.
Okay, but metaverse. So how are they describing metaverse?
A virtual environment where men creep on women. Huh. A virtual environment in which users can access multiple virtual realities.
Okay.
All right. Okay. A big announcement owned this Saturday. Zuckerberg. This what was that?
I said owned by Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes. This pwned. Saturday, pwned by it. This Saturday is the final open production meeting for Silent Trailers. Be part of it. They're always fun. KeithandTheGirl.com/tickets. Keith and the Girl VIPers, first, thank you for supporting the show. You know that. We're passing you a discount on this Saturday's final production meeting and discount for backstage access for next week's Silent Trailers live game shows. That's a lot to take in. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Just take a look. To become a VIP member, we hope you all become one, go to KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Thank you for signing up. Thank you for sharing the show. All that, of course, keeps it going. Aaron, it was a pleasure to meet you. You're a GD dream. Christian Finnegan introduced you to us, of course.
Who's awesome. I'm a big Christian Finnegan fan.
Yeah. Ah, fuck. We should have started with that.
Damn it. Well, I will we'll bump his album back up as long as it doesn't surpass mine and Weird Al's.
Yes.
So everybody, all for promoting.
Everybody check out Aaron's studio album. Or live album. I don't know why I said studio album. Christian, only like 1/3 of you check out his shit. That's all good?
Yeah. We'll push a few of my fans his way.
Search for Christian Finnegan, but land on Aaron Maguire, and then we'll see the searches go up for Christian. That's like a side note, but the sales go up for Aaron.
The amount of guys who have landed on me.
The album
given the me voice,
nothing
please.
But material.
Right. She's reading a book again. The album is called Baseline Presentable. I love it very much. And you have a podcast, correct?
Yes, I do. It's called Dear Pod, the comedy advice podcast, where me and my friend Patrick, we just revive the old articles of Ann Landers and Dear Abby. And we talk about their articles, but basically it's just a nice, you know, springboard for us to be jackasses on the air. And we have a very good time. Very entertaining. Check it out. DearPodOfficial.com.
Excellent. All right. We still got to talk to you guys about Nashville, Chicago, Hemda's camping adventures. Hemda faded right before a CAT scan. Exciting. Is she about to die? I don't know. KeithandTheGirl.com.
KeithandTheGirl.com.